Jackson Rapids. And always streaming on the...
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Matt Piper. A highly anticipated 165-page filing just released provides a comprehensive look at the evidence federal prosecutors have gathered in their election interference case against Donald Trump. Former federal prosecutor Lori Levinson with more on special counsel Jack Smith's documents.
As laid out in this pleading, Smith basically says that Trump was not acting as president. He was acting as a private actor, a candidate who was engaged in an extensive fraud and conspiracy to try to overturn an election that he knew he had lost.
Notre Dame law professor Derek Mueller.
The whole document is designed to separate those official acts at the core of your constitutional responsibility and other private acts for which you can be held criminally liable.
The former president has pleaded not guilty and denies any wrongdoing. Vice President Harris is in Augusta, Georgia, seeing firsthand the destruction from Hurricane Helene.
The loss of life that this community has experienced, the loss of normalcy, and the loss of critical resources.
President Biden heads to Georgia and Florida tomorrow after going to North and South Carolina today. CBS's Christian Benavides on the Carolinas cleanup.
President Biden is deploying 1,000 active duty troops to support the effort. Searchers with cadaver dogs trudged through knee-deep muck in the town of Swannanoa. At least 57 people were killed in Asheville. And in Bessemer, people are doing what they can to piece their lives back together.
No water, barely got food, everything expiring in the fridge, so it's down to canned goods and food trucks.
An Israeli strike has just hit central Beirut. President Biden says he will not support an Israeli attack targeting Tehran's nuclear program in response to Iran's missile attack on Israel a day ago. Israeli UN Ambassador Danny Dannon warns of a counterattack.
Let me be clear. Israel will defend itself. We will act. And let me assure you, the consequences Iran will face for their actions will be far greater than they could ever have imagined.
Tomorrow will mark day three of a dock workers' strike, and there are no talks scheduled with their union. Striking dock workers there in Wilmington, North Carolina, where Greg Washington works.
We can't work without a contract. So what I'm wanting to happen is they to sit down and knock out a daggone contract and we can go back to work.
The strike could cost the U.S. economy $5 billion daily. A second fan files a lawsuit claiming ownership of Shohei Ohtani's 50th home run ball. The bidding for the baseball is currently at $1.46 million. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.
7 News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Kamala Harris is holding on to a 4-point lead over Donald Trump in Wisconsin in the latest Marquette Law School poll. She leads 52% to 48% with both registered and likely voters. The margin of error is 4.4%. In the U.S. Senate race, Tammy Baldwin leads Eric Hovde by 7 points, also with registered and likely voters alike. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is asking people not to burn leaves and brush this week. Brittany Merlot explains why.
There's an increased chance of fire danger this week due to the dry weather, gusty winds, and dry vegetation, all ahead of a strong cold front. Burning brush and leaf piles is the number one cause of wildfires in Wisconsin. I'm Brittany Merlot.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear and cooler tonight with a low in the mid-40s. Not as warm tomorrow, high upper 60s with increasing clouds. Sunny and upper 60s on Friday, breezy for the weekend, upper 70s Saturday, only mid-60s Sunday. Currently at 64 degrees.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as we'll discuss the new film Closure, the story of the closing of our 2-year campuses, and also look ahead to a visit from Vice President Harris next time.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield. This is the Luke Fickell Radio Show, presented by Zimbrick Fish Hatchery Road. Find your next new or used car at ZimbrickFishHatcheryRoad.com. Also brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the official ticketing partner of the Wisconsin Badgers. Find tickets to Badger games and more. SeatGeek. Now, here's your host, the voice of the Badgers, Matt LePay.
From the Evans Transportation Victory Hall here at Camp Randall Stadium, welcome to Camp Randall Live with head coach Luke Fickell, presented by Zimbrick Fish Hatchery Road. Badgers back home. A Saturday matchup against the Purdue Boilermakers. Kickoff will be 11 a.m. right here at the stadium. Sold out Camp Randall Stadium. All the tickets gone. So be here for that 11 a.m. kickoff against the Boilermakers. On tonight's show, we'll recap last week, look ahead to this week. We'll also hear from defensive line coach E.J. Whitlow. He'll be our guest here tonight. And first coach Tausch, after spending 2 weeks in California and
advanced scouting.
A lot of vino, or maybe a glass or two of vino, right? Yep. You made it back. It's good.
Made it back. So, Coach, I'm going to quick turn the tables here.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, I don't need to talk about my wine. Are you a wine guy?
No, not particularly. I mean, I do drink some wine.
Sure.
I'm not asking you to break down the tannins and all that good stuff.
We got Beckman over there. He can fix that. He can tell you all about that. So Matt said 11 o'clock, and I know you're going to say we'll play whenever, but it's kind of nice. You get your day, you get up and get right at him. Is that your favorite time to play, or?
It is. I mean, I really do think so. I don't always think that it's the best. You know, the guys love it the most, right? I don't know that they think that's the greatest atmosphere. I don't know that they like the 6:45 wake-up call. I think they kind of, you know, don't mind it when it's a 9 o'clock or an 8:30 wake-up call. But I do think it's the best. It's get up, it's go. It's been a long week. You know, these guys are prepared, and there's nothing more that they want than, hey, let's get up and roll.
Yeah, and you looked at that, how it played out last week. You could not have asked. You want your guys to start fast. The first half could not have been drawn up any better from your perspective out in California.
Yeah, the number one objective last week and the plan to win was to start fast, to play fast, to start fast. And they did. They came out the first half and really played well, both sides of the ball. You know, defensively, I thought we did a really good job and got some of those stops, and then offensively created some big plays, and even special teams-wise. So, it's the start of it was, and the plan was, yeah. I mean, you going on the road in particular out there, it was, hey, we have to get out to a really good start and understand that, you know, there's going to be a firepower back, and they're going to fire back. But, you know, if you don't put yourself in that situation, which, you know, I think we haven't done great in the first few, it's even a more difficult situation.
The ongoing topic through the first few games was getting the big plays, and you get one. I mean, Braden throws a perfect ball to Vinny Anthony. We've talked about him. Like, this kid can really run. They saw that, right? I mean, there's a lot of physical ability with Vinny, isn't there?
Yeah, and he hasn't had nearly as many of those opportunities, and I think that's one of those things where you start to see, like, okay, we got to give him some more opportunities. And I don't mean that in, like, he hasn't had balls thrown to him or there's not plays that are called that, hey, he starts with the progression. But, I mean, just truly plays where, hey, if you think it's some one-on-one coverage, give him a chance to go for those 50-50 balls and let's make them more 50-50 balls or 60-40 balls. But if you never throw them and never give them the opportunity, you don't know where that percentage lies. And so he's done a really good job. He did a good job, you know, last weekend. And I just think that we got to find more ways to use him and give him some of those opportunities.
Yeah, and when you look at how the rest of that half played, you've been talking this week about complementary football, but the punting game and what that did, flipping the field and then forcing the fumble, scoring on that, everything kind of fell into place. And then how do you explain the second half?
Have you been with me all week? I mean, we'd need a lot of wine to be able to.
You want to talk about wine?
Yeah, we can get back. If we got any good bottles, we can hit that.
Yeah, it's hard to say. Obviously, momentum and energy and things like that, especially on the road, are so critical. And we did a great job of that in the first half. And as the start of the second half happened, you know, it was three and out to start with because you're getting the ball. You get a stop. And then you turn the ball over on the punt return team, which is what it is, right? I mean, you got to go back out there and get a stop. You go 10 plays to go 30 yards, and you have three third downs, a third and 15 included in there. That, give them credit, they made some really big plays. But, okay, so it's like it wasn't one of those things that was a complete gut punch, right? I mean, okay, we turn it over. we had opportunities. We had a chance, you know, three third downs. So it wasn't like you were like, felt like, oh, goodness sakes, this thing's gone the other direction. And then obviously I think the fourth down stop coupled with another, you know, big play or something like that. Then when the thing started rolling, I think that's probably one of our things. Like, how do we find a way? Who's going to step up? Who's going to be the guy that kind of has a chance to shift this momentum back? Because that's what the game is, right? It's a game of momentum. It's a game of energy. And when you have it, you got to keep it. And when you don't have it, you got to find a way to get it. And sometimes that means, okay, we got to find a way. We got to put the ball up to Vinny. We got to give some of these guys an opportunity. We got to, you know, sell out a little bit more, which we did defensively. Mm-hmm. You know, we went on a zero pressure and they made the play. Then we went on an 8-man drop and they made the play. And it was like, we got to keep going down the line and we got to find a way to shift the
yeah,
energy.
Yeah, because it really, you just watching it, you could tell the guys were empty in their buckets on defense. I mean, it was a hard hitting, I thought aggressive, but you just couldn't find a way to get off the field on third down. And then then it just becomes their confidence grows. And so, and you try, it wasn't like you sat back and you tried a bunch of different stuff.
No, we did. And you know, I hate to say, give them credit because they're good players, but even those, most of those third downs were throw up shots, right? I mean, and I don't know that whether you're in man or you're in zone, you know, sometimes somebody's got to go up and make a play. And we did go down the line of all different things. And I will give the defensive credit in the sense that, yes, we didn't get off the field on third down. I don't think their philosophy is to throw the ball up and to think that we're just going to make, you know, 6 or 7 or 8 of those of 10 catches. That's what happened. They did. The three of the touchdowns were obviously just shots up in the air. That's not been who they have been. In some ways, you were doing the things you wanted to do, making them methodically, you know, drive the ball and use all the things in their arsenal. But when it came down to it, those big plays on third down in particular, the throw-ups, you know, was where we didn't make the play. And then vice versa offensively. You know, the second half, to be honest, they came out and softened their coverage up, to be honest. You know, they didn't drop down 7 guys in the box and 8 guys in the box and play the zero hole like they did in the first half because we hit them on some shots. And so they played a little bit softer, and they played a little bit more, not cover two, but, you know, high safeties and then rolling down late. And we just didn't take control like we did in the first half of the line of scrimmage, I think, as much as anything. And it was not that something they did to say, okay, we're going to load the box. It was more like, hey, they just kind of got on edges and said, we're going to play a little bit faster and a little bit quicker off the edges. And it caused us some issues.
What's the rule of thumb? I guess, you know, Alex Grantz or Paul Haynes would be, you know, the perfect guys. We work in that part of the defense. But when you're
going to ask about coverage, and he doesn't want to ask me. Like, yeah, okay, we're just dumb linemen, right? We're just dumb linemen.
Line stumps.
I mean, we could say that about offensive linemen, but you don't have to. I mean,
well, I was trying to help you out, but okay. Forget it. What's the rule of thumb when they have a receiver that's 6'4", another who's 6'6"? They make, you know, they get it up and they use their size to their advantage. If you're a corner and you're not that tall, you're 5'10", or, you know, Xavier Lucas is 6'2". But what's the general rule of thumb when you're up against, when you're looking up at the receiver you're trying to defend?
You got to get on him a little earlier. Yeah. I think you got to really disrupt the route. If a guy has size on you, hopefully what you have is speed and quickness and some things like that. And those guys are big and they can run, but I think what you do, you have to be able to get in. You have to kind of disrupt it, because if it is a really good pass, the advantage does go to the guy with the size. And especially if the way they did it was going up with strong hands. I think we got to do a better job at disrupting that earlier in the down so that the timing isn't perfect. Because with the size, when the timing's perfect, it does advantage to the offensive side. But defensively, I think early in the down, the advantage is to you, okay, when those guys aren't quite as quick off the ball and can't stack guys and things like that. So I think as we look back, we got to be physical at the line of scrimmage. We got to be on guys a little bit more, even on like the, you know, the I think the last one on Hunter on 3rd and 6 on the 6 or 7 yard line or whatever, like, you really can't give them the opportunity for it just to be a jump ball. We got to get on those guys, put our hands on them, because in college ball, the one good thing about being able to play coverage, you're allowed to touch guys past 5 yards. Mm-hmm. Not when the ball's in the air, but I just think we got to get on guys earlier, especially when they're big.
All right, we will take a break. Again, E.J. Whitlow, defensive line coach, will join us a bit later in the program. We'll take a break. More of the Luke Fickell Show, presented by Zimbrick Fish Hatchery Road, coming up on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Need reliable waste and recycling services? Choose LRS. Driven by service and dedicated to sustainability, we're your partner in efficient waste management. Need more? We also offer convenient dumpster rentals and clean portable restrooms for any event or project. Trust LRS for all your waste needs. Visit LRSRecycles.com to sign up for service. That's LRSRecycles.com.
If you want to be a running back, there's only one place to go. Running Back U, baby. Right here at Wisconsin, where legendary players and unbeatable records are born. And when you want to defeat cancer, there's only one place to go. UW Health Carbone Cancer Center, where our own unbeatable team takes on cancer like no other hospital. From pioneering new treatments to defeating cancers no one else could, right here is where the best of the best come together to change the game. UW Health Carbone Cancer Center. Remarkable.
Hey Badger fans, fall is here and you know what that means. Chilly days are just around the corner. Don't let the cold catch you off guard. That's why it's good to know the knowledgeable, friendly dealers at Bryant Heating and Cooling who will do whatever it takes to keep your furnace running efficiently, no matter what the weather throws at you. Plus, score up to $2,600 in tax credits on qualifying Bryant systems. Ask about local rebates and financing for qualified buyers. Find your local dealer at Bryant.com. That's Bryant.com. Proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
Hey Badger fans, the 2024 football season is here and SeatGeek is here to help you experience all the action. SeatGeek makes it easy to find tickets so you can be a part of all the touchdown celebrations this season. Whether you're buying or selling tickets to Wisconsin football games or to any other live event in your area, SeatGeek is the place to do it. SeatGeek is the official ticket marketplace of the Wisconsin Badgers. The most disruptive idea in ticketing? A ticket that works. Expect the expected. SeatGeek.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We're born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
The men and women of the Wisconsin Operating Engineers operate the heavy equipment that builds our roads, bridges, and schools. But did you know they also build the wind and solar farms that supply clean energy to our homes and businesses? They install the broadband infrastructure that helps provide high-speed internet to every corner of Wisconsin. Build your career with the Wisconsin Operating Engineers. Visit join139.com to learn more.
Badger fans, visit uwbadgers.com/contest to enter for your chance to be the Culver's VIP family at a UW football game this season. Four families will be selected for the chance to compete for cash on the field at halftime. That's uwbadgers.com/contest. We continue with the Luke Fickell Show, presented by Zimbrick Fish Hatchery Road. Rare occasion here. Tausch is outnumbered. The O-lineman, you got a couple D-linemen here as we welcome E.J. Whitlow, defensive line coach. Warm welcome for Coach Whitlow. Mark, you were doing something that, I mean, you were, for an offensive lineman to praise a defensive lineman, you had a reason to do it, but that'd be tough for you.
Yeah, I was really impressed out in USC with Elijah Hills, what he was able to do. I mean, he wore out their right guard and they benched him. And it was, he false started. What is it, you get into that kind of rhythm. He was really a wreck in that first half. What have you seen in his development so far?
The big thing, I think he's just been coming with the mindset of trying to get better every single day and embracing that. And we talked a lot about the winning habits and what it takes. And you got to do it on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday if you want to go out and perform on Saturday. And he's really been embracing that.
Any of the other young guys that you're really excited about kind of stepping in and seeing what as this season continues to unfold?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you have Brandon Lane. I know he's not a young guy, but he's a young guy to the program. He's been progressing week in, week out, and has been getting better. And then you have Dylan Johnson as well, as a guy that's just been plugging away every single day of trying to make improvements.
How do you figure out when someone's got a hot hand, and you want to make sure everybody's rested, how do you kind of figure out when to pull a guy out, is it just set Is that
he's asking this because O linemen don't get breaks, so they don't get those rest times. Well, you know, they have a hot hand all the time.
We're in much better shape. We can actually finish
as
game,
we can tell
all day.
Know, no, not now. I'm not saying now. I'm saying it. But how do you figure that out as far as your rep? You know how you rotate guys and things like that.
Well, the big thing is, like you say, you have to first off have the trust in the other guys in the room that you can roll guys and that there's no drop off, and you just want to keep guys fresh, and they understand that if you're playing the game the right way and getting to the ball and you need a blow, hey, we got another guy that's coming in and ready to go, and it's not being selfish, right? Being a team guy and understanding that there's a right way to play the game and we got to play that way.
You mentioned Dylan Johnson. Remember, I was talking to Ben Barton about him a few weeks ago, and he, you know, Ben's been around a little bit. He said Dylan Johnson is one of the strongest dudes he's ever run across. He's a true freshman playing on the defensive line. That's a big ask. But, you know, the wrestling background and all that, I mean, you're smiling. So, like, Ben's speaking the truth, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Dylan is, I mean, some of the things that he can do in the weight room, upper body, lower body, I mean, it's insane, man. He's got some big, heavy hands on him, some big mitts, and he's strong as ox, man. So, definitely.
Is it true, they say with wrestlers, too, the leverage, I mean, with that sport, and you that translates perfectly to what he's attempting to do right now?
Yeah, like I say, obviously playing D-line is about leverage and feeling body position and feeling the guy leaning on you if he's too heavy on you or if you've got the leverage underneath him and his pad level. And he does a really good job of just having that feel of body position of a guy.
Let's backtrack a little bit. We mentioned this. It's Coach Whitlow.
Leverage at 6 foot tall helps too, or 6'1", I should say.
Helps with the leverage. Yes. Let's backtrack a little bit. I mentioned it's Coach Whitlow's first year here. The last 2 years at Air Force, one of the best defenses right in the country. Right before you came here, take us through the process of making the move here to Madison, University of Wisconsin, and how things have gone for you and your family.
Oh man, it's been awesome. First off, with the people and the support here at Wisconsin, man, just the fans, the support staff, administration, everybody made the transition extremely, extremely smooth for me and my family, and then obviously the coaching staff, right? You spend a lot of time with these guys. You spend a lot of time, I mean, more time with them than sometimes your own family. And it's truly a family environment here, and it's something that you got to smile on your face every single day when you come in to work and work with these guys and to coach the guys that we coach, right? We have awesome young man. That you get to work with every single day. So the transition has been fantastic being here.
Did it help for you? I assume it did, but I'll ask. You know, Matt Mitchell, you coached, he was obviously the coach of Grand Valley. You were there with him. Did that help ease the transition for you into the Wisconsin program?
Oh, yeah. Anytime you come to a place and you have a prior relationship with people, it makes it a smooth, right? There's things that you may not know or this is how it goes, and you can – lean on to somebody and ask questions. And obviously, like I say, me and Mitch worked together for 4 years out in Grand Valley State. So 100%.
Is Coach Fickell, you know, come back showing old film from when he was playing inside and giving you added tips as far as like what are some drills and things like that that you can help when maybe you're looking for some fresh ideas?
100%. Like I say, Coach Fick is awesome. He always finds his way over to the D-line Indy, and he ain't afraid to get his hand down and dirty and get over there with us in the trenches. So I absolutely love it, you know.
The game's changed a little bit, you know, so I've tried not to implement some of the things that we did when I was in school or even coaching it. So I try to steer clear as much I can to the D-line and linebackers because that can sometimes be the more difficult positions to coach with somebody kind of always kind of hovering over.
Having
like,
ideas.
Like you do with the offensive line down there hovering, in the shade while we practice.
Yes,
you know,
we're
line coach
smart.
Knows
again,
that.
Again, we keep telling you work smarter, not harder. So, EJ, Ben Barton, the veteran, tell us how important he's been to kind of help some of the development of some of the younger guys.
I mean, Ben's been awesome. Like, he's a tremendously smart individual. So you can put a lot of things on his plate that he can handle. And then, obviously, he's been a guy that's been in the program, been in the system, and he's a team player. So he's always trying to take those younger guys, grab them under the wing, hey, you know, try this or do this, or whether it's game plan information, and he sits down and spends extra time with them. Like, we have a really good culture in there of, you know, looking out for one another, and he does an awesome job with that.
I would say something about him, too. His role, obviously, not just playing, but
being a leader has grown because of, you know, James Thompson going down. So when James went down, it threw a lot more onto Ben's plate. Not that he can't handle it, but I think he's kind of embraced that in being a little bit more that leader in the room, being that, you know, more of a guy that's on the field. He's obviously having to play a lot more, you know, when you, you know, kind of lose a guy that would have been in that role of another 40 to 45 to 50 plays a game. I think that's thrown a lot on his plate, but I've been impressed with how he's been able to handle that.
Didn't you put the nickname Professor on him last year, Ben Barton?
I'm not sure if somebody, I put that somebody nickname
did.
On him.
Somebody did.
But I had to be able to tell a couple of apart. So, yeah, he was just a professor for about 6-8 months.
Yeah, well, now they just call him Dad. He's the married guy on the team.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, he gives such praise to all those. It was Cade McDonald. We mentioned Dylan Johnson. I mean, having a guy like Ben, it means a lot more than what a stat line maybe could show you.
Yeah, and I think his role, like I said, not just because James has, you know, obviously got hurt, but from the spring on, he's a guy that, I'll be honest with you, I think that where he was, you know, even when we walked in the door a year and a half ago to where he is now is a far cry. And that's not because he's just had great coaches. You know? That's because, you know, he really wants to. He's dedicated himself. He's kind of recognized he's gained some confidence in the things that he does. And I think he's going to continue to grow.
And one of the things Coach Whitlow, he describes you is you tell your guys, take your shots. Like, shoot your shot. You know, there's that, you know, lineman, you're going to occupy guys, linebackers going to make a play, but you want your guys to go, you know, go get it, right, when they can.
Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously, as the frontline defense, you got to be aggressive. You can't play passive. You can't play timid, right? And you got to try to wreak some havoc. You know, havoc plays make a difference in winning and losing, and so you can't be gun-shy. I mean, you just got to be aggressive, and you got to go. You got to be willing to shoot your shot.
By the way, props to James Thompson, too, because he's around every day. You know, he's around. It's a tough spot for him right now, right? But he's there every day with the guys, and that's – I mean, that probably is very important to James. But I think if you're the other guys on that D-line, that means something to see him there, doesn't it?
100%. I mean, obviously James has a tremendous amount of character, and obviously it sucks to have a situation like that where you get hurt, and that's unfortunate. But – you know, there's one or two ways that you can go about it. You can sulk, or you can say, hey, you know what, my role may have shifted. Well, I'm going to go attack that role to the best of my ability. And that's what James has done. He's done a good job of being a leader and having energy and showing up and being engaged every single day, whether it's meetings or practice. And that's just a sign of being a leader and embracing that role. So he's been awesome.
I mean, I think he's out there every day with his helmet, even though he can't practice.
Sleds.
We kind of have a rule, like, you know, you dress in the dress of the day. But I mean that with a guy that has, like, a twisted ankle or, you know, he can't go because he's got a bad wrist or something. And then every single day he's coming out damn near in full pads.
Like,
and got
he's
his helmet.
There with
I'm
his
like,
sling and he's got a helmet on. And I'm like, yeah. You know. Hey, whatever. I mean, everybody, it's hot. We're sitting there up in the shade complaining it was getting too cold. And James is down there helmeted up with his sleeve. So, yeah, it's.
I admit my softness at all times. I don't even try to hide it. Coach, before we let you go, just give us your general thoughts as you get ready for Purdue and what you see from that group up front. What are your guys up against?
100%. I mean, they do a good job of running the football. I mean, the center is a guy that's a veteran guy, played a lot of snaps, and he's a really good player. Running back runs extremely hard, and we got to do a good job of containing the quarterback. You know, he does a good job with his legs. So, I mean, we got to bring it.
Yeah, that center, Gus Hartwig, I felt like I called his name when Tiller was coaching. Joe Tiller, you're right, he's been there seemingly forever and a big part of what they do. So, well, belated welcome to Madison, the Madison area, and being a Wisconsin Badger. Appreciate you coming out tonight.
Oh, no, appreciate you guys.
Yeah, good luck to you on Saturday. Coach E.J. Whitlow, a defensive line boss here for the Badgers. Zimbrick Fish Hatchery Road. Find your next new or used car at ZimbrickFishHatcheryRoad.com, a proud sponsor of Wisconsin Athletics. We'll take a break. More of the Luke Fickell Show coming up in a couple of minutes on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Children are the greatest joy and our best hope for a better future. Friends, they are the future. But did you know that millions of kids right here in our own backyard are facing hunger every day? Without healthy food, it's harder to grow, to thrive, to feel their best.
The impact when children don't have enough to eat is tremendous because when you're hungry and your basic needs aren't being met, you cannot learn.
Every child deserves to be fed. This is a problem we know how to solve. Food is not just food. It's energy, health, confidence, hope, and even love. Yes, love.
Breakfast in the classroom contributes to kids being more focused, which leads to higher grades and simply just their well-being.
Thank you!
Learn more about how No Kid Hungry is helping end child hunger in America at helpnokidhungry.org.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community and also the Army National Guard. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I want to talk about tariffs. We keep hearing this economic term bandied around, and politicians who are talking up tariffs want us to think that it's a good idea to put fees on foreign goods. It's going to, like, protect American businesses and consumers. Turns out, that's not always the case. We can't tax companies that are overseas, so we end up taxing the mostly American-owned and run companies that are just bringing goods in from around the world. So if tariffs go up by 20%, history and studies show that those companies are going to pass those extra costs right on to me and you. I don't know about you. While prices are coming down, I can't afford to pay 20% more for what I'm buying. So next time you hear some politician talking about tariffs, just remember, the ones being proposed are a tax on Americans being paid by Americans. This is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Go Badgers!
Badgers take on Purdue on Saturday at Camp Randall Stadium, 11 a.m. kick. Also 11 o'clock kick Central Time a week from Saturday when the Badgers hit the road going out to Piscataway to take on Rutgers. So first things first, 11 a.m. for the Boilers. We'll get Coach's thoughts on the Boilermakers in a few minutes. Kind of the weekly update here with Tyler Van Dyke. As I said last week, you know, you always hesitate. How you doing? Well, I just had a big surgery. How do you think I'm doing? But under the circumstances, you know, the rehab is just starting, obviously, with him. But, you know, I think he popped by a little bit today. Just have, again, if he's being around.
He wanted to travel with us this past weekend. The docs wouldn't let him. Okay. And it wouldn't have been a good thing. I mean, he that first week or so from you know, all the stuff that he had done was going to be a tough time, right? I mean, just some pain and some things like that. So it wasn't obviously a good situation to travel, but he wanted to travel. And he's out there every single day. He's got a headset on. He's engaged as much as he possibly can. And don't get any ideas. It's like there's no way he's making it back right now. I mean, you know, he understands that, but the process of getting better has started for him, and I'm happy for that.
That'd be a help for Braden, though, too, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just somebody to bounce some things off
He's played a lot of football now.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's not like it was just he's only played four or five games. I mean, he's played a lot of football in the last 3 years, and obviously a little bit of football to start it this year. And that connection with Braden has been a really good thing, you know, I mean, from the time that he came in here in January to now. And so he relies upon that. And obviously guys see things a little bit different, and they're in that room. And, you know, they like to talk about the coaches sometimes, right? I don't know how you guys used to do that,
I'm sure.
Yeah,
complain.
Yeah, complain. And so at least he's got somebody that he could,
yeah,
you know.
It's always good to be able to bounce something off, and you know that they're not going to go back and tell the coaches what the hell they call
otherwise, all he's got in there is the young guys. He's got Mabry or something. I mean, so now he can at least have a guy that's been about like, oh, yeah, that was a dumb call or something. So I think it's good for both. Obviously, maybe even a little bit better for Braden and us because, you know, I think he does have a great perspective.
Braden is such – anybody who's ever met Braden Locke, you take you like 3 seconds to realize, man, this guy's pretty mature for such a young guy. Well, I would imagine you guys noticed that pretty quickly in the process. But where are you seeing his growth last year when he was thrown into it under tough circumstances, his growth last year to what you're seeing now?
Well, I mean, I think he does have a better grasp. I think that's one of those things. I think when you recognize and know that, you know, this is kind of your show. You know, last year, even in the situation you got thrown into, even in the next 3 or 4 weeks, you kind of, you know, we're thinking that, okay, well, when Tanner comes back, it's going to be his opportunity. So I think, not that he took that any different, not that he would prepare any different, but I do think that, you know, this opportunity where he's at now, obviously being further along, is much different. But I think more than anything, I think just the respect that he has from the guys that are around him, you know, and that's the stuff that you do through the offseason. That's the stuff that you do even in the battle. And don't think that the way he handled not being named the starter doesn't go a long way with the guys in that locker room when all of a sudden you become the guy. And he did it in the way that you would want to script it out to do it, because it's not easy. I don't care what position. I don't care who said what or that guy's better and everybody thinks this guy. Like, it's still a battle and it's still a tough situation, especially at that position. And he did everything the right way, and I think it's paying off.
Yeah. Coach, I heard one of your comments at your press conference about you're not going to play 4 and 5 running backs anymore, and you're going to try and kind of get it down where you can maybe, as the old ball coach here said, get somebody lathered up, Ronnie. And there is something about having that.
I don't know
that,
if Ronnie's coming off the side.
Maybe not, but that the principle of just kind of having somebody find their rhythm and rolling with them throughout a game. And I guess I'm just kind of curious where you're at with that.
No, I think that's one of those things that, you know, I don't spend a ton with the offense. I mean, I'm in there a bit, and I think that's kind of the thing that I've kind of poked at him with. You know, I mean, through the first few weeks, we knew that there was kind of a stable of guys, but we got to figure out who you're going to give those opportunities to, because it is hard. It is hard to get into a rhythm for some of those guys. And the unique thing is they all have a little bit of a different skill set. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you get too much into, hey, how can we use each and every guy, when in the reality, just like you talked to with the defensive line, I mean, you know, it's not okay for the defensive line guy to play 78 snaps. It's just, we don't have somebody that's going to do that. We don't have somebody that we want to do that. But it's the same thing as a running back. We don't need you to play all 74 snaps and carry the ball all 38 times that we run. But, like, it's hard to continue to bring in 3 or 4 guys. So we're going to do a better job. We're going to figure out who that kind of looks like and who do we give the opportunities to, and then give them the chances. And if they get hot, I mean, obviously we won't be doing as much of the rotation.
Yeah, and I thought another thing that you said that was really interesting was the O-line. And, you know, the first half, really, I thought, played well. And then in that second half, you want to put more on that group as an offensive unit.
We do. And we've done that, and we continue to do that. And I don't say we didn't do that in the second half, but obviously, you know, the way things started to go, we couldn't and didn't do a good enough job of controlling the line of scrimmage and establishing, you know, those drives that we had done even in the first few games and the first few weeks. I mean, if there's one thing that was consistent in the ability to move the football and to drive it, I didn't say we always finished it. I didn't say we always created the big plays. The second half, I would say if there's anything that we were going to try to lean on was that, and mm-hmm. that's just what we didn't get done.
Yeah, and how much do you take into account the time of possession? Because even in the first half, obviously it was warm, beautiful Southern California day. But even with taking the lead, you looked at that time of possession, and it was a pretty big disparity. How much do you factor into that?
I don't know. I mean, there's obviously some things you should start to worry about as you get in, you know, into the second half, saying, okay, how many plays have we played? How many times? How long have these guys been on the field? We try to do a good job at rolling, so I don't know that that's, you know, something that you overly worry about, because I think we've got enough guys that we're playing, but it does start to wear on you. And, you know, I don't want to say you don't want to score quick, because, you know, I think the fourth play or the fifth play, it was a long touchdown.
And people are going to ask why you're not having big plays.
So yeah, so there's a balance there, but I think that's it's twofold. That's that complementary football that we're talking about. There's coming out the second half, I did want and think we could control the thing and let's say, hey, not just – say, okay, we're going to go 3 yards in a cloud of dust, but the idea of, hey, how do we establish this thing? It's perfectly good to try to get this, you know, this time of possession back, swing back a little bit the other way. And that's another thing. We just, the complementary ability to do that, we did not do.
And the middle eight is something that means a lot. Last four of the first four of the second. I mean, we hear a lot of coaches, some more than others, really talk about that. That's a big thing for you, right?
It is, and we have – if there's one thing that we have done really in all games, we have really kind of handled that, at least the first four, the last 4 minutes of the first half. in a lot of really good ways. And we didn't capitalize, obviously, in the Alabama game, but it was exactly the way you had scripted it out, like having an opportunity to hold the ball and possess it at the end. And we all know what happened. And then the same thing as we were going into half this past week. It was like, okay, let's do this thing the right way. And we did. We didn't end up capitalizing. We didn't score right there before half. I think there's something we left out on the field right there. It's the start of the second halves, and that's where – you know, we've got to find a better way. We came out the second half, went three and out. Now, the D did get a three and out, but then we had a turnover.
And the turnover came from somebody who's a really good return guy, too. I mean, it happens. It's, you know, yeah, I don't know how you handle that.
We've been asked a lot of questions already. And there's not like you just go, okay, we'll go back to the bank and, okay, who's the next guy? Like, one of those difficult situations, right? I mean, you know, talk about having enough confidence in guys. I think there's some things we can do better, and it's not put in other guys. It's, okay, what is the situation? And I don't mean like, okay, hey, be passive now. Let's just fair catch the thing or let it roll. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's not what I mean. But, you know, hey, if you're running downhill on the ball, things are getting crowded, it's perfectly fine to be able to fair catch things and just give you the piece that they can't hit you, you know. So just catch the football. And so I think those are some of the mature things and the things we can do. But, you know, I mean, Tyrell Henry and Benny Anthony are the two guys that have returned punts for us, both to put one on the ground. But I don't know that it's just like, hey, okay, let's go to the next guy. Mm-hmm. We believe in those guys, and we're going to keep giving them opportunities. We think we just got to take some – be smarter in some of those situations.
Yeah, and he had the big kick return at the end of that game. But I'm sure you've heard a bunch on the fourth and one. There's a lot of fans that are kind of wondering, well, why not just go under center? It's closer. How do you, and I know, you know, Phil Longo's got his style, and how do you, I guess, if you were going to answer that question, how do you answer it?
I answer it by when it's the most critical times, you do what you do. And if that's not being under center a lot of times, I think that there sometimes gets to situations where that's not the best thing that you do. And I go back to 4 years ago or 3 years ago, whatever it was, we had sealed a game at Cincinnati to go to the championship, and we made a stop and got the ball on the 1 yard line. And, you know, there's like 45 seconds to go in the game, but they had two timeouts, so you had to run a play. And I'm like, hey, just sneak the thing. And so we go up under there and sneak it.
Fumble.
He drops the ball. Mm-hmm. And they recover it on the 1 yard line or 2 yard line. And I remember just looking at the quarterback, Desmond Ridders. He came over, and I go, what happened? He goes, I dropped it. And you're like, okay, let's go. We end up stopping him, so it all worked out. But, I mean, like, so there are situations, obviously, I think, in some sneak situations that you got to be able to do some things. We've been under center in some situations. We just got to execute. And you know, so I'm not saying that we would fumble the ball if we went under center. But I think in the most critical times, it's the same thing defensively. Who are you and what do you do? You know, it was fourth and one. We had an opportunity to make a stop. You know, this is who we are. This is what we do. And they beat us at it. And so we got to do a better job. It's not like, hey, scrap that defense because on fourth and one, you know, we got chopped and the quarterback pulled it and he made a guy miss and he went in the end zone for 6 yards. Like, it's not really the defense. It's not really the call. It's more saying, hey, what are we comfortable with and what can we execute?
Yep.
One of the biggest fourth and ones, maybe the biggest fourth and one last year, was an overtime of the Nebraska game. You went shotgun. You made it. Nobody talked about it.
No, right? There's plenty of times. I mean, we can go back to the Iowa one we didn't make. I mean,
sure.
You know, obviously they're great when they're made, and they're not when they don't. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing with the punt return, right? I mean, well, we should have fair caught that there. We should have, you know, that thing we should have let roll. You know, it's one of those tough things. But, you know, that's why you practice, right? I mean, you were out there today. We're going to do some short yard situations, and you're going to see the same looks and expect that your guys are going to, you know, be able to execute. And it doesn't mean you don't have a chance to be able to change and adapt and do some other things too. And I think that's still the process of, hey, what's going to give us the best chance to be able to execute and give our guys the greatest opportunity to be aggressive. And that, to me, is how you win in those situations, in the most critical situations.
All right, we'll take a break. In our remaining minutes with Coach Fickell, we'll get a little thumbnail sketch of the Purdue Boilermakers. This is the Luke Fickell Show, presented by Zimbrick Fish Hatchery Road. Back in a couple of minutes on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We're born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show,
We would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at ZeroInWisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
Hey, Badger fans, the 2024 football season is here, and SeatGeek is here to help you experience all the action. SeatGeek makes it easy to find tickets so you can be a part of all the touchdown celebrations this season. Whether you're buying or selling tickets to Wisconsin football games or to any other live event in your area, SeatGeek is the place to do it. SeatGeek is the official ticket marketplace of the Wisconsin Badgers. The most disruptive idea in ticketing? A ticket that works. Expect the expected. SeatGeek.
Need reliable waste and recycling services? Choose LRS. Driven by service and dedicated to sustainability, we're your partner in efficient waste management. Need more? We also offer convenient dumpster rentals and clean portable restrooms for any event or project. Trust LRS for all your waste needs. Visit LRSRecycles.com to sign up for service. That's LRSRecycles.com.
Hey, Badger fans, fall is here, and you know what that means. Chilly days are just around the corner. Don't let the cold catch you off guard. That's why it's good to know the knowledgeable, friendly dealers at Bryant Heating and Cooling who will do whatever it takes to keep your furnace running efficiently, no matter what the weather throws at you. Plus, score up to $2,600 in tax credits on qualifying Bryant systems. Ask about local rebates and financing for qualified buyers. Find your local dealer at Bryant.com. That's Bryant.com. Proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
The Kohl Center, Camp Randall, the Fieldhouse. This is where the magic happens, where the best players lead with passion, fight with power, and win with exceptional performance. And now it's time we add another house to our Badger community. Meet Madison's newest powerhouse player, UW Health East Park Medical Center, home of top doctors and advanced treatments, all under one roof. So no matter the opponent, we're the place to defeat it. UW Health. Remarkable.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison, home of the Big Win and Madison Casino Guru, is transforming guests into winners, making an ordinary day into a big win day is easy with a 95% average payout. And with over 140 daily jackpots, the number of people winning has never been bigger. So what are you waiting for? Escape to Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison for your next big win.
Ho-Chunk.
We continue with the Luke Fickell Show, Camp Randall Live, as we get you ready for game number 5 on Saturday. Badgers taking on the Purdue Boilermakers. Sold-out crowd will be there. Not a sold-out, but a sold-out crowd at Camp Randall for the Badgers and the Boilers. Luke, we're talking with Coach Whitlow a little bit about their group offensively. They're going to have – they made a change with their offensive coordinator, so – find out together what kind of tweaks they have. But as we were talking earlier this afternoon, this quarterback's been around. He was at Texas for a few years and now a veteran in this Purdue system, Hudson Card. But that running game, is, as Coach Whitlow talked about, that gets your attention, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. They've made some really, really big plays in the run game. I think they're averaging like 8 yards a play on stretch and some formations in like some duo 10 formations. I mean, like, they've really done a good job. I think it's a combination. I think the backs are really good. They understand what it is they're doing in some of these stretch. But I think they do a really good job up front, the center being one in particular that just gets the thing going and gives those guys some opportunities. They just haven't capitalized on them. I mean, I think they had a 70-yard run against Oregon State and then stall it out and don't get any points out of it. So they've run the ball really well. And notoriously, like you said, their offense is built around slinging it and throwing it. But that's where it's kind of a misinformation. Like, is it really, are they a throwing team or are they a running team? Mm-hmm. I think they've done both, but I think they've really been pretty dynamic in running the football this year.
That doesn't happen often, right? Where they fire an offensive coordinator mid-season and try to figure how does that change?
I don't
your
know.
Prep? How does that change your prep?
I've never been around it. You know, I've never been a part of it, so I don't know exactly what it entails. I don't know. Do we really know? I mean, maybe the last 3 weeks it's been that way, mm-hmm. and somebody else has been calling it, and you just don't know it, right? Maybe they just finally, announced it, or somebody walked away. So you could speculate, you could try to figure things out. You're never going to know until Saturday at 11 o'clock as to if they're that much different and what is it that they're going to be and do different. So we just got to keep preparing and you know, got to have the ability to be able to adapt and adjust.
And you usually say it's about you guys anyway, right?
It is. It is. But you do like to, as you get into the season, usually you start to get a better grasp on preparing your guys for the things they're going to see. But when there is some uncertainty maybe and some things that can change, you do kind of got to go back and just, you know, maybe sometimes be simplistic in what you're doing and being ready to adapt.
And you're constantly just chasing consistency. So when you go out there Saturday morning, what's going to be that message to your guys?
Well, I think it is. It's the winning habits. You know, it's regardless if all of a sudden they come out and do something different offensively or if they do something different defensively. I mean, when it really comes down to it, it's the winning habits that matter. It's not, did we call a stretch play or did we call an under center play on fourth down, right? Is it a certain defense? Is it the same defense that they got? They made it on fourth and one. It's not the call that gives you a chance to be successful. It's the habits that you've created. It's the ability to execute. And it's the ability to play physical and fast. And so I don't know that it's some special, right? I mean, like there's going to be some speech that's going to get these things all kind of turned around. And there's a speech at halftime that's going to give us a chance to play better when we come out the second half than we did. Like, no, it's really the things that you do the entire week and the consistency that we can have as leaders to be the example to what we expect from them when they go out there on Saturday.
As Mark mentioned, we watch, you know, it's nice, a little chilly up there, but we're up like five floors.
It's starting to get to be suntime.
A little bit. But you got the music going. Brady's doing his thing with the guys getting them to. You see, it seems from level five that everybody has still got a lot of bounce. Are you getting that vibe? They can't wait to get back on the field.
No, they do. Game. And I mean, I think that Jack Del Rio obviously has got a little bit of a different perspective. And he was really impressed. He said, Sunday, I was so surprised. I don't know what I expected. But those guys came out there and went about their business, ran around, did the things. He's like, I'm not used to that in the NFL a day after the game and even a travel game in some situations. And that's what it has been. That consistency hasn't changed with those guys. They really do have a good attitude. They want to do the things the right way. They want to be able to create it and they work at it. It's a process that, you know, some of us can't quite put a finger on to say exactly why maybe some things haven't happened. But I feel like they're the same way, but they haven't changed the attitude. They haven't changed the way they work about things.
Yeah. A couple of minutes left. Tell us, what was that like with the Packers? If you had a long flight back, if it was a tough game, what was that first day like?
Well, I mean, it always depended. If it was, you know, a hard fought, tough loss, you just get back at it. And I think that's what's been encouraging is you see, it's got to be about the attitude and just even when you win, you can enjoy it. It's obviously a heck of a lot more fun on the ride back, but it always has to be what's the next thing. You enjoy it for the 24 hours, and then it's what's next. And you go through that prep, and, you know, we're all creatures of habit. We want to find our routine, and we want to stick to it. And I think the teams that can withstand those tough losses and, you know, prep, get ready for the next one, and on the same respect, handle success – That's how you build a culture that you can win on a consistent basis.
Yeah, Barry, I think with you guys, always talked about the 24-hour rule. Whatever that is, it's a similar. I don't know if it's 24 hours, but it's a similar thing. Hey, learn, turn.
Hopefully,
the page,
it is 24, but sometimes you play them night games. It's like 17 hours. Yeah, you don't get quite as much time, but it is. I mean, that's what you're learning. That's the process. I think that's what young guys have the most difficult thing with, in when they take this step to the next level, and you know they're not used to having to turn the page so fast. Right. I mean, it's not what you did in high school. Maybe you played on Friday and you didn't go back in and do much. Maybe you ran around on Saturday and then you practiced on Monday. It was just, you know, so they are just different. And we've got some young guys and whether guys that came from, you know, some other places. We talked about one in Elijah Hills. Now, he's done a great job, but John Pius and some of those guys that just, you know, sometimes it just takes a little bit more for them to understand what this process looks like, what that routine of being a pro looks like, and how you have to be able to turn the page so quick and move on to the next one.
All right. Appreciate your time, as always. Good luck on Saturday.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate
Badgers
it.
Head coach Luke Fickell will back to wrap things up in a couple of minutes on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
To everyone who craves a rich and creamy hometown treat, let our team member Nevaeh tell you how we do it at Culver's.
Every scoop of Culver's fresh frozen custard is made in small batches throughout the day. Because where we come from, the little things make a big difference. Like bringing back a seasonal favorite, our salted caramel pumpkin concrete mixer and pumpkin spice shake are back for a limited time. Handcrafted with farm fresh dairy and real pureed pumpkin just for you.
From Wisconsin with love. Welcome to Delicious.
Culver's on 8th Street South in Wisconsin Rapids.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Now, if you're leaving a job, unless it's like truly a terrible worst case scenario, it's a good practice to leave your job on the best terms possible. I mean, you never know what or who you might need later. So here are my four steps for leaving a job without burning a bridge. Number one, start by talking first to your direct manager. Now, you don't have to go into great detail about why you're leaving or what you're going to do next, but a when you're leaving and some version of a why should be in there. And 2 weeks' notice is the polite minimum standard for leaving a job. Step two, email your resignation to HR and include your end date. Step three, now if you are a manager, your direct reports should be the next folks you talk to after you and your boss have put together a plan. And finally, do the best work you can so you leave on the best terms possible. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
hey, you got this. Just breathe. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Bringing a house of pain.
Backside pressure, down he goes. Inside the 30-yard line.
To a game day near you.
Picked off by Wisconsin, and the Badgers win it.
That's how you create a program. That's how you create a team.
Join us Saturday. The Badgers return home to face the Boilermakers. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m. on your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
If you've got high blood pressure, there's a 50-50 chance you're a walking time bomb. Thankfully, you can take control of your blood pressure with a drink called 120 Life. 120 Life is formulated with ingredients that have all been shown to help naturally lower blood pressure. Go to 120life.com. Use the code JUICE for 15% off. We'll refund your money if you're not fully satisfied. Go to 120life.com. There's nothing to lose.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
I'm today to join.
Rosen is caught. Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Great segment about wine. Thanks to Jeff Beckman for
listening,
huh?
Jeff's the guru.
He's that. Well, you might be as well.
Well,
I'll tell
you
what.
2 weeks up there. I'm slowly but surely going to catch Jeff and Marv, but I don't know if I'll ever get to that point.
Yeah, that's all right. No, we appreciate these guys being here as always. You see these guys be back on track. Got like half a minute left here. Something to feel good about. Long way to go here this season.
Yeah, it's not, you know, it's been obviously a couple of really good teams, and I just think we saw glimpses of what we need to be in order to be what we want to be. So now it's just let's consistently do that. And if you do, good things ahead.
9 o'clock airtime, 11 o'clock kick. We'll talk to you Saturday for the Badgers and the Boilers on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
You've been listening to the Luke Fickell Radio Show, presented by Zimbrick Fish Hatchery Road. Find your next new or used car at ZimbrickFishHatcheryRoad.com. Also brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the official ticketing partner of the Wisconsin Badgers. Find tickets to Badger games and more. SeatGeek. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Badger Sports Network.
Hi, this is Beth, your new host for The Kitchen is Open, the award-winning show within the morning show. Each Monday morning at 9 a.m., we'll tackle topics, teach techniques, and tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners with insight on what it takes to make it in the food industry. Listen as I work with James, Seth, and others as we learn, laugh, and...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.